We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Oh my gosh, fall is in the air. You guys feel it?
I do. I tried to drink.
Fall is in the air, Dre. This is my opener. This is my opener. Fall is in the air.
I tried to drink coffee on my porch this morning and it was too cold.
It was too cold to go out?
Yep. Well, I was wearing a tank top, so that hurt, but like it was like 63.
Cold in the morning though. It's so good.
If I had a hoodie on, it would have been perfect.
If you would have
I haven't made the switch yet.
True story. I have a pumpkin spice creamer now. That's how far into it I'm going. Wow. So basic.
Wow.
In the fall. I love fall. That's the theme of the show today. We're going to talk a lot about fall activities. Gross. In Denver. That'll be a segment three. What we're really going to talk about is fall disappointments, which apparently in the state of Colorado means football. Those two things completely synonymous. We're also going to be talking. Actually, this is going to be a fun one. We're going to be talking about, is it right to boo or not boo? And, of course, that came in very pertinent today in Denver sports, or this week, I should say. But first, we're presented, as always, on this episode of the Denver Sports Podcast by the Hoot Nanny. I said that with punctuation so you guys would jump in. The Hoot Nanny.
Hoot Nanny. Hoot Nanny. Happy birthday, Brock.
Aptly named by Peyton Manning, I just assume. It just seems like a word that he would say.
It does.
And it's going to be sick because they have some really great bands playing at the Hootenanny this year, including Big Head Todd and the Monsters.
He was at the Avs thing too, right?
He was
there too, right?
Wow.
So there you go.
Wow,
so
look at you guys
at all of the top events here in Denver. So Hootenanny should be a lot of fun. I know some of us will be down there as well. Guys, the headline today: this was a disappointing week in Denver sports. I don't know if you guys were paying attention. Yeah. I'm going to start from the top.
Oh.
The top for me is Nikola Jokic. Nikola Jokic and Team Serbia, which I count as Denver. Personally, I count it as Denver.
Yep.
They lost to Italy. Oh, Andre, can you count this as a disappointment?
Well,
lost to Italy.
Then my guys disappointed me mere days later. So, yes, it's just more disappointments.
Weirdly, everybody that's been following along on DNVR Nuggets knows I'm very into the Serbian team, so this was a crushing blow to me. But don't worry. Denver was not about to be outdone by the Team Serbia. You get a Broncos loss to the lowly Seattle Seahawks. You get a CU loss, and you also get a CSU loss somehow to Middle Tennessee State.
Can I make the case for what's the least disappointing?
I think I know which one you're going
to
say.
Buffs losing to Air Force, who is clearly the premier football program in Colorado, is not disappointing.
Air Force not disappointing.
Is this? Can I ask? Because you're a big CU guy.
Yep.
Is that not in and of itself disappointing?
Yes, but I'm past.
Isn't it actually worse that you were just considered
It's an old pain, you know.
It is an old pain.
Well, you know, you had an achy knee for like 2 years. You stopped thinking about it.
That's a great point.
The other ones are like
that
fresh.
One hit really close to home. Really felt that one.
You're not thinking about that. You're thinking about, you know, the paper cut you got in between your pinky and your ring finger.
So, do you agree with him? By the way, are we at this point with CU? Is it just a little lull that we're in, or are we just now no longer disappointed at anything that they do?
I mean, Ryan is like the voice of the program in a lot of ways, so far be it for me to go against him. And yet, at the same time, I think that Ryan being in this spot is emblematic of how deep this fall has been and how there seems like no end in sight.
No, this is like when you go visit a friend you haven't seen for a while, they've gained a lot of weight, they haven't showered for days, and he's like, you know what, man, I'm doing better than ever because I just stopped caring, man. I stopped caring. You should be happy for me. And you're like, I man, don't think I'm supposed to be happy for you right now.
Such great analogy. Such a good right analogy. It's so true.
It's 100% how I feel. And to make you guys feel even more sad, we're sitting in Falcon Stadium, which super overrated.
I love that this is where you have to get your barbs in. You can't talk about the game. No. You just have to be like, oh, the traffic.
So we're sitting in Falcon Stadium. The Buffs get a turnover. They've got the ball in plus territory.
Great stuff.
I think they're at like the 35-yard line. Mm-hmm. And I go, three plays, 0 yards, and a missed field goal. And my buddy just turns to me and goes, what happened to you, man? Like, damn, that actually cuts pretty deep. Yeah,
it is true. How was the party bus, though? I wasn't on it.
The party bus was sick. We had a blast getting down there, and everyone was, you know, singing the fight song, singing along. And the ride back actually wasn't that bad either, and it's kind of emblematic of what I'm talking about. Like, no one was sitting there like, I can't believe we lost. It's just like, let's get the hell out of here. The biggest problem was there's no – I'm not going to keep taking barbs at Air Force after this, but there's no – cell service on the base,
right?
So we couldn't like communicate with anyone, so we were just hoping that everyone would come back to the bus, or else we'd have to leave them on the base. Wow. Thankfully we got out of there with everyone.
Oh, that is great to hear. And then CSU falling to Middle Tennessee State, this one to me, man, Middle Tennessee State,
yeah,
there's a lot there to that team for you to have to fall at home, by the way, a home opener.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
not great.
That
is that the most disappointing? I don't know, it can't be.
It's not. It only because of the profile of you know, the Broncos loss. But in terms of who, like, how much they should have won, how much hype was around Norvell, and how badly they lost, it might just, like, if you were just putting everything on paper, what's the most disappointing in ranking these? I mean, they're down 34-0 at one point to Middle Tennessee State in the home opener of probably the most hyped CSU coach ever.
That's true, actually. This is the big thing. The new coach factor, Dre, does that push it over the top?
I mean, they've got just a little breathing room. This was still just a little bit of the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
And, you know, all these players are new. The coaching staff is new. So there was a bit of built-in, like, this might take a while.
Mm.
But, yeah, I mean, that's gonna sap the little goodwill you had.
I will say I've been impressed with the perspective that CSU fans have had on it, which is what you're talking about. And I actually talked to someone kind of familiar with CSU's roster before the season, and they said, this is a top-tier Mountain West coach with a bottom-tier Mountain West roster. We'll see what happens. And
yeah. All right. Well,
we're seeing what happens.
Yeah, it's a start everywhere. I mean, it's funny, though. Like, here at DNVR HQ and really in the DNVR Slack, this was a week of all downers, man. Like, I don't know who's riding high. The only people riding high are the Colorado Rockies, and you want to talk about expectations, because they are at 62 wins. The whole season was the race for 69. Yep. Guess what? Right on the line. Then it's going to come right down. There. They're either going to get, I think, 68 or 69 wins.
If they have 68 going into the last game of the season, we got to have like a big watch party.
We have to.
Yeah, we really do.
Well, first of all, they're going to. And I think they play the Dodgers like seven of their last seven games.
Yeah, they do.
So there you go.
On the road.
So it's going to be one. I personally, if I had a vote, if I had to cast a vote for most disappointing, it would be our Denver Broncos, because I'm watching this summer, the spring of hype, this summer of excitement, and here we get to fall, my favorite season, and here we go. We're going to kick off. We're going to go up to Seattle. Is it a storybook? Russell Wilson comes from Seattle. We're going to play Seattle. Team not supposed to be very good. We got this vaunted defense. Oh, my God. Have you heard about them? They've been so great. Seattle, the first half just made it look like a peewee team. I was so disappointed in the way this went. And, you know, there's a lot of different things to get to. But, RK, you're obviously our Broncos guy here. If you had to start with your disappointments, again, it's the week of disappointment. If you have to start, where are you starting?
It's absolutely with Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams, because this conversation wouldn't even be close to happening right now if it weren't for those two guys fumbling on the goal line. And obviously the first one kind of hurts the most, because you come out of the half, you make great adjustments. Like the conversation this week should be, wow, that coaching staff had some incredible adjustments at halftime. And then the offense went out and, you know, blew them away. The defense held them to 34 total yards in the second half. I mean, I could go on and on about all the good things that happened. You fumble one on the goal line with Melvin. That kind of kills the vibes. You actually do an incredible job to get it right back. And then you fumble it right back on the goal line again. And it's just like, if you score those two touchdowns, which is not some crazy, like, if this, if that, it's like, push the ball 1 yard without fumbling it. They win this game by probably two scores, and there's a
even
world...
if you don't, though, even if you win by one, this is the thing about the NFL. Yeah, if you win by 1 point, what do you say? Road win in the NFL, week one, tough one, work the kinks out, got to win. Doesn't matter.
Yep.
You did what you had to do.
Yep. You only needed to score one of those. And then later in the game, you have Cortland Sutton false start on a play that ends in the end zone, and it would have been an easy touchdown. And the worst part about that one, you know, at least Melvin and Javonte had the ball in their hands. Cortland Sutton had literally no involvement in the play. If he would have just stood there with his arms crossed the entire play, nothing would have changed. So that one might actually be the most disappointing of them all. The one that obviously gets the most discussion is Nathaniel Hackett's decision at the end, and that's extremely disappointing for a myriad of reasons. Number one, I just don't understand how you don't give Russell Wilson a chance for that moment. Yeah. You know, like, that's the most disappointing part to me, is like, you went and got Russell Wilson, and you had a chance to have him, like, oh, the legacy begins. He leads you down so the field and does what he does best, and he does, like, a John Elway-esque late game drive to win, and you just didn't even give him the chance to convert on the biggest down. So that's disappointing to me, on top of just the fact that now the honeymoon period for Nathaniel Hackett is essentially over before it ever started. And he actually coached the game pretty darn well outside of that one thing, and no one cares.
It shows you, and we'll get to the coaching aspect here, but it does show you how many difficult decisions a coach makes, because there were so many things going on, and, like, we're sitting at home. I'm doing the Peyton Manning. Like, I did the exact same thing at home, where I'm like, we got three of them here. I think you could go for one. But nonetheless, you're right. Like, there were so many different things that you did well in that one, and it all comes down to, well, you screwed up the very end here. At least I think they screwed it up. We'll talk about that here in a second. I asked him to give one disappointment. He gave all of them. Is there any other ones that you could get? Did he save any for you?
On the Broncos side?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I'm a little more patient here, because I do understand. I mean, to me, September football has really just become an extension of the preseason.
It matters, though. Come on.
It does
matter.
Only so many games. It does matter. But, you know, like, you could see there was a lot of stuff going on that, like, they couldn't get the play calls quick enough. The adjustments took forever.
Oh, this was the opposite of mistake-free football.
Oh,
this was
mistakeful. It was like, we're learning on the job football. From the coaches to the players, they were all just kind of figuring it out as they go. You could see the chemistry with Russ and his wide receivers not necessarily there, but they progressed. I mean, the second half was way better than the first half.
Yeah.
But the disappointment, I mean, in Colorado football in general, between the Buffs and the Broncos, seeing that many, like, touchdowns be literally an inch away and then get fumbled is
that's
a disappointment.
And then it really galvanizes the crowd. It galvanizes the defense. When you get a stop, like, Denver got a stop at the goal line, I was like, hell yeah, here we go. Like, that's that. Yep. You get energy from that. Exactly. You get two of those, and it's like, man, what a killer. But
I do want to give a shout out to Air Force football. Like, we're talking about all of Colorado football being a disappointment. They're the only one that's not, and they might actually be favored in every single game this season.
That's dope.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
They're legit. They play tonight against Wyoming.
Well, there you go. There's the shout out. I want to stick here, though, because I want to go back to the final play, because there's been a lot of conversation from a lot of different people, and there's a lot of angles that you could take on this. The only angle I'll take is the one that you did, which is, forget what the numbers say, forget any of that. To me, giving the ball to Russell Wilson in that moment was a win-win.
Yes.
I think in hindsight, it was a win-win. You get the first down, a win. To your point, everybody's like, hey, we got that guy. It's what we brought him in here. We got it. If not, Guess what he's brought in here to do? Shoulder the responsibility. Do it. Like, you're paying this guy that money so that when you lose a game, you get to walk in and he says, guys, it's on me and it's not going to happen again. Keep your head up. Everybody keep your head up. We all the things that we're saying right now, like, look at the yardage, look at the defense. All of those things all of a sudden matter so much less. And we're just like, Russ has us. He knows he screwed up and we got it. Instead, you take it out and we have this weird thing. And I'm telling you, you could see it in the look on Peyton Manning's face during the telecast when he's biting his lip. You could just see, I don't care what the numbers say. I don't care what any of this says. You know when something's wrong. And to me, that's the thing that was, is the for all the good decisions that weren't made, that specific decision shouldn't be a thought. It should be, what is our team? Our backbone and our spine is Russell Wilson, and of course we go to this. And the fact that it wasn't, it kills me.
Yep. And that's what I said on the post game. It was one of my big takes, was like, if you're Nathaniel Hackett, you have the ultimate like free card here, which is just put the ball in Russell Wilson's hands. No one, literally no one would have been going on the radio or TV or on a podcast the next day saying, should have kicked the 64-yard field goal.
Right.
No one would have said that. It was like a free pass to just roll the dice a little bit and bet on Russ and
so here's, drop the ball. Here's what's even more interesting, and I'm going to be the hot take guy. If I did this on the DMVR Broncos podcast, you'd throw me off out of the room. But here's the thing I'm doing. I'm coming in a little hot, but you know, one of the things Richard Sherman said, and I'm sure he brings a little to the table, a little baggage maybe to the table on this, but one of the things he said was, if that was Peyton Manning, he wouldn't have needed the sideline, he would have done this or that. And I understand all of that, and I understand that there's an explanation for this. But what my point is Russell Wilson, to me, when Peyton Manning came here, his legacy was secured, and he added to it and created a new legacy in Denver, like for him. I kind of wonder, watching this game, one of my thoughts was, is Russell Wilson... Oh, do we know how we're going to talk about him in 10 years? Or is that very much... I think it's way more up in the air than I expected. And that game was a weird sort of microcosm of that, where I was like, I didn't expect that was the way that would have gone with a player like him.
That's a good point. I mean, it's a big change for Russ. It's a big change, and playing against his home crowd is a big deal. You know, his old home crowd. But... I think we forget that Peyton, in his first start, he threw a couple picks. Like, not everything looks smooth.
They're 2-3 through 5 games, Peyton's first year.
It took some time there as well, you know. And that's just to be expected. These quarterbacks, they're so fine-tuned. They need everything to work. They need to be the guys orchestrating things. And it's going to take a minute for that to really happen for us.
So you bring up a really interesting point about what are we going to think about Russ in 10 years? And the hard thing is, the Broncos have two of the five best quarterbacks of all time in their back pocket. And Russ is clearly below that, but not he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day. And it's like a guarantee that he has to win a Super Bowl in Denver for his legacy here to be what, you know, what he would want it to be. And it's all going to come down to, can they pull that off? It's probably not going to happen in this first year. Now, I would love to point to the fact that the last two Super Bowl champions are quarterbacks in their first year with a new team, and Matt Stafford last year and Tom Brady the year before that. So that's like the one thing you hold on to is, hey, it can happen. But it's really going to be about, can they build around Russ in the future to be able to do that? And so it's going to be a combination of Nathaniel Hackett, Russell Wilson, and George Payton who come together on that. What I really push back on is what Richard Sherman said about Peyton Manning. Because one of the we talk about disappointments today. Maybe the most disappointing thing that's happened in the lives of Broncos fans is against the Ravens in, you know, the divisional round in 2013. Was that 2013? 2012.
The Flacco touchdown?
Is
that what you're talking about? Okay.
And the most disappointing point of that game is that the Broncos, after the Raheem Moore, you know, blunder, get the ball with 30 seconds left. And John Fox makes the decision to take a knee and take it to overtime. Peyton Manning was not saying, no way, I'm calling the plays here. Spread it out. Let's get... And if you remember, just last season, Patrick Mahomes took his team down and kicked a field goal in 12 seconds.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
12 seconds. Yeah. So Peyton Manning could have overridden that decision,
and
he didn't.
That's the Buffalo game, right? Didn't they both do it? Didn't Allen do it in like 20 seconds?
Bang, bang, bang. Yeah. Like, one of the best games I've ever seen.
That was one of the best games ever.
And sadly ends with just a coin flip, which thankfully always, now is going to get taken away. But Peyton Manning didn't stop that from happening. So it's
the only thing I'll push back on that is that when the Flacco pass happened, it felt like the air was let out of the building. And this is my point is, at that one, I understand Peyton being like, only bad things are going to come here. Let's take a breather. Yeah, we need a breather. It wasn't the case for the Bronco game. No, it was more of a sense of urgency, and you're making them. And I know it was fourth down, like, you know, in five, it's a tough one. I just, whatever. We could relitigate this forever. My point is more broadly on Russell Wilson, which is, I'm coming at this from a bit of an outsider. I'm a Broncos fan. I grew up a Broncos fan. John Elway was my first, like, big athlete. You know, I'm coming to this from a point of liking the Broncos, but I will say this. I'm not a Broncos Kool-Aid drinker. For whatever reason, like what it would, like I'm attached to them in this way that I feel like emotionally detached from some of this. And I watch Russell Wilson and we do the corny, not this or that. My thing with him is I just kind of like question him a little bit. Like some reason I'm not like as enamored with him. And I know this is a hot take now. I'm coming out with this take one day after they lose one game. But that was my point, is I'm watching him and I was like, it's a lock. Denver has a good quarterback. You know, they just locked him up for all these years. And part of me is looking at him and I go, I don't know, like, don't love.
I think it's just because you haven't seen him win a game
yet.
Yeah, you know what I mean? As soon as he starts leading this team to victory, I think everyone is going to be able to put aside the corny thing, whatever. And like, he definitely has a forced thing about him that can kind of be cringy at times. But in the end, he's going to win the Denver Broncos so many football games that it's just not going to matter. And heck, even if you go back and I'll send this to you, just watch the mic'd up from him this week. Like, the way that he is on the field is actually, to me, way less manufactured than what you see from him off the field. And so, like, just watching that set, like, made me feel good, because he's an incredible leader. He really is. Like, and I think the guys, like, respond. Like, there's a point in there where he's yelling at the guys on the sideline. He's like, hey, let's help the defense out. Run or pass. Like, if they're running it, yell run. If they're passing, right, yell pass. And then, like, the video cuts. And the next time you just hear the whole sideline being like, pass.
Yeah.
So I really do believe that it's just a matter of time before all of that stuff doesn't matter. And Russ is just a winner and he's a great leader and everyone loves him.
But here's the last piece of this, and it's going to lead us into our other segment, but I want to hear your perspective on it. I was a little surprised with the booing, obviously, from the crowd, and we'll talk about that on the other side. But I was also a little surprised because I felt like some people came out of the woodwork to be like, yeah, you know, like just to kind of spit on Russ a little bit after they lost. And I was surprised by that. And it made me think, is he not as beloved as we, you know, from past teammates as we would want to believe? Do you have a sense of that?
You know what Russ has? He's got a bit of that Jokic, where people are still holding on to the second round draft pick. Which,
you think?
Oh, yeah. We all hold on to our old draft takes, you know. Okay. And we're all waiting to be, you know, for that correction to come, those who didn't believe.
You cannot hope for a correction a decade into career.
Sure, but but people still hold on to some of that bias, you know. And also, he's not Peyton Manning. He is not this immaculate quarterback where if things are working, like, everything's working.
Right.
He's more of, I don't know, an Allen Iverson, where it's like you can win with him.
This is the first time he's been compared to Allen Iverson.
He's a unique franchise player. I mean, AI was about as small an NBA franchise player as you'll see, you know. Yeah. But now, AI never got to the highs that Russ has gotten to. But where you start to see Russ's value, and I think this was the frustration early on, was there were some third and longs where it was like, ooh, shit, this feels way too familiar.
Yeah.
We're in third and long and we're not converting. This feels way too much like the last 5 years. And the second half comes around and all of a sudden we started rolling. All of a sudden you got that correction. And I think that's just going to get better and better. But, I mean, he's a unique quarterback. We've talked about on bets. He's not a guy who's going to lead to many blowouts, but he's going to be there in the fourth quarter to lead
his
almost
team, perfect.
You extend know plays. Yes.
I would be, this would be the song I'd be singing this whole week if you just don't fumble on the 1 yard line twice. This is exactly what I'd be saying. But we got to keep it moving, guys. You know how I'm going to cope with a week of disappointment? By doubling down on all of my teams on DraftKings Sportsbook. That's what I'm going to be doing.
Let's go. I will be doing the same. Also made a lot of money thanks to DraftKings Sportsbook last night because they're giving out the early win token. So if a team goes up by 7 points on Thursday Night Football or 10 points in the rest of the week, they'll let you win your bet. Last night, I win my bet on the Chargers, and then I just took all my winnings from that bet on the Chargers and I put it on the Chiefs.
That's incredible.
And so I won two money line bets in the same game. Shout out DraftKings.
Two opposite money lines. That's fantastic. What a deal right there. That is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. So use that code DNVR over DraftKings. Bet five, win 200.
Do you have a team you like that for? Is there another? Can you double? Because there's some way you could replicate this. Like, hey, they're going to get up 10 and then lose.
It's a lot harder with 10 than it was with 7. But yeah, we actually pointed out a couple on bets. I kind of like the Arizona Cardinals in that one.
Taking on the Raiders.
Taking on the Raiders. What was the other one that we really liked?
I thought the Saints were intriguing. Saints hosting the Bucks.
Yep.
Fun. These are great.
The Saints Bucks one would actually be the best one for the double win.
Mm-hmm. The double win.
Because even though it's a little scary to bet on Tom Brady in New Orleans, he's really struggled there. But it might be possible. So anyways, 5 for $200 when you use the code DNVR over at DraftKings. Insane. Of course, age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
Awesome. We also, you know what else I might be using this week? The Game Time app. Ooh. Going down to the tailgate, might go check out the game.
Nothing better than using the Game Time app in those situations. In fact, every Broncos game I went to last year, I used the Game Time app.
Dope.
It's
so cheap on there.
I know. It's, like I said, it's the only thing in my life that rewards me for my procrastination.
There you go.
And Hunt for 69 can find those Rockies tickets real cheap right now.
Oh, man, what did you find on Game Time the other day? Third baseline, what was it, $14, like front row?
It was unreal. The amount of deals you can get over at Game Time. And look, you know, Allie's pulling it up here.
What do we got?
Just tickets all over the place for the Broncos game that have obviously gone down a little bit as the hype machine has taken a little bit of a hit. Yeah, there you go.
196 right there, huh?
First level. Yeah. 196. Man. Not bad. There's a lot of great deals over at Game Time. Use the link in the show notes or the show description on YouTube.
Yes.
So we get hooked up there.
It's especially cool opening week with football. You get all the flyby. It's like they go all out for all the theatrics, which will be a lot of fun this week. Also, the tailgate's there. We're going to be down at the tailgate. You guys have to come join us. It's a great time. Our new revamped tailgate.
Yes, already our best-selling tailgate of all time. So it's going to be lit.
All right, we're going to play a new game, guys, called Boo or Taboo. Because one of the stories for me was Russell Wilson, noted NFL champion, who brought a championship to the city of Seattle, booed mercilessly.
The only one in their franchise
history. The only one in their franchise history. And he was booed mercilessly by those Seahawks fans, the 12th man, as they are known. Mm-hmm. He was booed mercilessly by all of them. And look, all is fair in love, war, and sports. To me, I don't have a problem. I thought the Seattle – I walked away from that game, and I go, that was impressive, man. They brought it. That was loud. You watching the broadcast, I was like, I could barely even hear. Turn the volume down on the crowd, man. It's too loud here.
Definitely do that with, like, hyped-up fan bases. They turn the crowd mics up a little bit. But
Yeah. Well, either way, they did a good job of that. But I honestly, like, there was – when we talk about a mistake full game, some of that had to do with it. Just felt like, hey, the crowd
disrupted a lot. Oh, that was a huge factor, yes.
So I tip my hat to them. But at the same time, I look at it and I go – would I have booed Russ? Would I have been there? First of all, I'm very I can be influenced anything, and if a whole stadium's doing it, I'll probably do it as well. So the answer is yes. But would I have wanted to? I don't know. To me, that would have been taboo. You guys feel like that was boo or taboo from a fan base to boo Russell Wilson?
I think it's a bit taboo once they've been the best player on a championship team.
Yeah.
Especially when you have barely any championships to speak of in your city's history. Right. I think it's the Supersonics get one in the 70s.
You can play along with this, by the way, in the chat. I'm curious to see if you say boo or taboo on this one.
So I don't know. I mean, Russ is pretty special to what the Seahawks history is.
To me, he's the best player in their franchise history.
Oh, by a mile.
I mean, you like
that's not debatable.
I think we have some Seahawks fans in the comments that are probably gonna like cape for Steve Largent.
What a
give
joke.
Me a break.
What a joke.
So he's the best player in their franchise history.
If anything, you'd have to argue like Richard Sherman, but it's from the same teams. Like there's no way.
There's like a tackle, like Walter Jones or something.
Yeah, Walter Jones would be in there. Yeah.
I looked up some lists to see where they were putting Russ. You know, people talk about Russ being corny. I thought booing Russ was super corny.
You thought it was corny?
Yeah.
Why corny?
Because it's just like it's fake. It's manufactured. To me, they got influenced by Pete Carroll, who, to his credit, he knew what he was doing. He was trying to shake a beehive. Totally did, and it worked.
Yeah.
But to me, it's like, stop this. You don't hate Russell Wilson. He's the best player in your franchise history. You might hate that he's gone, but you're not like there's all these little stories that come out after the fact. You know, oh, he did this.
That's what I'm saying. After the game, I was almost like, oh, my God, is he a villain?
I think it's, you know, I talked about this before. I think it's the lead singer theory. Everyone gets sick of the lead singer eventually.
It's so true. It's a great
theory. The drummer is tired of seeing the lead singer on the cover of the magazine.
That's so true. They're all jealous.
Yes.
They beat us. Yeah, exactly. Bass player even more.
All right, we're going to go through a list here. Shelby Harris. Not left of his own accord, but he did Dance on the Grave. Did you bring yourself to watch his interview?
I just know what happened. I didn't watch it.
He enjoyed it.
I don't think that's taboo. I think Shelby did the right thing, you know.
Of course.
Digging in. No, we wouldn't.
He didn't do anything unfair.
He doesn't move the needle enough to deserve a boo.
Great take.
That is the take. He didn't soar high enough for anyone to want to boo him. I will say, you take that shot.
It's his fault.
He would get a couple boos, but also like the amount of people that go to Denver Broncos games who are on Twitter is like so small that like most people probably wouldn't have even known that happened.
That's probably true. Carmelo Anthony, and I'm talking about now, not 2011. I'm saying like it's the year 2022, soon to be 2023. Are we boo or taboo Carmelo Anthony?
Andre,
we don't even know where he's gonna be.
Andre made the point of like people trying to justify their draft takes. For me, it's like, I've already hammered myself into a boo Mello guy. I have to be that.
Forever?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I can't, you know, just soften up now. Yeah. So I was there. I'm pro boo in those situations only because it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. And, like, so maybe there's a double standard here. Mello's not the best player in Nuggets history, but he's one of.
Yeah.
And I was booing that, but that was more like, it was very obvious that he was kind of halfway out the door at the end, and I think that matters a lot.
Of course. He didn't want to, there's no questioning this. He didn't want to be in Denver. Like, he can try to rewrite it. He went to a team that was terrible. Like, he wasn't trying to get on a contender. Dre?
I think Statue of Limitations has passed.
You do?
I do.
I don't. So here's my thing.
I think we're over it.
When he retires, I want him to come back. You know, it's like, come back in, man. Let's have a big hug. Let's do the jersey retiring, which is going to be weird now because Yoke wears it. But, like, I want that big thing. But as long as you're a player, I kind of like this idea of, here's what it is. In the quote-unquote player empowerment era, which is really just the forced trades to another team era, in that era, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You're welcome to do whatever you want.
Yep.
But to expect a fan base to be like, hey, we're cool for you just saying you don't want to be here anymore. Like, I'm sorry, you lost that. Forever. Like,
yeah. I'm just saying, just in 2022, Mello moves the needle less than Shelby Harris.
That's true.
I mean, what is he? The ninth man on any team that's coming into town?
Nuggets fans don't. You need a simple thing like booing Mello. That's a simple thing. All right, we're all good. We're on the page. Okay, we can keep it moving.
Okay.
Drew Luck.
No.
Will he ever play again? Question number one.
It'd be kind of fun to boo Drew Luck. Sure, why not?
That's
kind of a YOLO moment.
I feel like this is generational because every quarterback that failed after Elway, no matter how good they were, like even some that were actually really good, still would get booed by Broncos fans. So Drew Lock, who was in no way good, I'm sorry, he was in no way good. We can't boo him?
You can, for sure. I just don't think anyone would. Like, yeah, it's like, he tried his best and his best wasn't good enough.
All right. Taboo. Yeah, taboo. Taboo.
And then you shipped him out of town.
Yeah. This one's weird. Von Miller.
That is a ultimate massive taboo. That is so taboo.
Yeah. Big taboo.
Wait.
But that's Russell Wilson, AFC, essentially.
Denver goes on a big 16-0 run to end the year, hosting the AFC Championship game.
Not even close.
No.
He still gets a video tribute.
All right.
He's earned it, man. He's earned it.
He's right. Also,
these are gonna be too easy.
The most beloved Bronco since John Elway. Like, Peyton Manning obviously has a case. But other than that,
he's there with Champ.
It's Vaughn.
Yeah.
And Vaughn's over Champ because he was just had more personality.
Matt Duchene. This is the easiest one, actually. Yeah. All of these, this is easier than Vaughn.
No taboo at all. And this
I think the answer to this is
it comes down to how you left town. You know, like,
it does.
For me, I've started to realize as I've gotten older that sports to me is almost entirely about civic pride. Like, I love the sports teams and I love watching sports, and I watched Thursday Night Football last night and all that stuff. In the end, I love Colorado and I love Denver.
Of course.
And that's what fuels me the most. It's why I have a hard time getting into like Eurobasket, which I know we had the Jokic thing, sure. but like outside of that, doesn't do anything for me.
Flacco so
I
have doesn't a, move the needle for you? Jeez, man.
It's like I had a hard time getting
this guy,
in. I had a hard time getting into the last World Cup because the USA wasn't in it. To me, it's like it's more about
that's funny.
And it's more about like my team and my city and that sort of thing. And when you force your way out, it's like an insult to
of course
the city.
Personal insult.
Yes, exactly. And so that's what it comes down.
And what we're really getting into is how you left. Vaughn.
That's what I'm trying to get into.
Didn't leave out of his own accord, basically, right?
So true.
Yeah. And it's all about.
And he kept putting things on Instagram about wanting to come back. Yeah. Like he played it right.
And you know,
the
genius.
A breakup always matters. Did they leave you in shambles? Did they leave you without seeing the upside that you had and now you're doing better and want to rub it in their face?
That's a good point. Yep. All right. We'll get some more ambiguous ones here then. Really? Slightly more ambiguous.
I think Seahawks fans would make the case that Russ forced his way out of town.
This is the thing.
But he didn't. They broke. It was a breakup. It was a mutual breakup.
You know how breakups are. They can be a little murky. Who did what?
You're not
who forced who.
If you and your ex both decided like, hey, this isn't working out, you're not like, you don't hate them.
No couple has ever. I mean, it's very rare that both of them are like, you know what? Shake on it. There's always one that's a little more.
I wanted $250 million. You didn't want to pay me $250 million. Yeah. No harm, no foul.
Trey's bringing the truth
but
here.
That's bringing the truth. Side. Pete Carroll's side is like, hey, he wanted to throw the ball around.
We got to keep
I'm
it moving. It's water under the fridge. We got to keep it moving. Nolan Arenado, boo or taboo?
Forced his way out.
Just instinctually said boo. Like,
we just litigated this. It's kind of similar to the Russ thing to some extent.
All the stories that came out of Nolan Arenado. No, boo all the way.
I boo the Rockies for not leveraging that player option better. And I boo Nolan.
We're booing, but we're booing the Rockies.
When he left,
we're booing Bryant.
And it's the breakup Mumford. Theory. He left us in a really bad spot. Like, we broke up and we were now homeless.
But he was also talking to the girl before you broke up.
That's a good point.
So he was already ready to move
great
on.
Point. That's a
so
great
that's
point.
So that's where you get the boo.
A lot of likes on Instagram. Okay. Like, wow, you've been liking some photos lately.
She sold me. Fair enough.
You boo Nolan there, not boo Trevor Story.
No boo.
Taboo.
Yeah. Sorry, taboo. I named this.
He's kind of in the Shelby Harris camp.
Yeah.
Doesn't move the needle quite enough.
This next one's fun.
I know.
It's really good.
When he was good, he was good.
This next one's fun. Teddy Bridgewater. I just said no to Drew Locke.
I know. I think it's taboo, but while I don't think Drew ever would get booed, I think Teddy would.
Teddy's going to get booed. Why?
Oh, man. I don't know if you want to open that can of worms. I'll say...
Damn it, Denver.
Honestly, the thing that really solidifies it for me is the Eagles game.
Of course.
When he didn't go for the tackle. That is when he really, really lost everyone. Like, you could kind of talk yourself into like, hey, game manager, this, that, and the other thing. And I think for the can of worms we weren't going to open, people were looking for a reason to hate him. But that was a... That was the last straw, and I think the lasting memory that people will have of Teddy Bridgewater in Denver.
He doesn't move the needle enough. It's like we wouldn't boo Gus Frerotte, we wouldn't boo Case Keenum, we wouldn't boo Trevor Siemian.
I was gonna say I don't know.
What about Jay Cutler? Because we just got that in the call.
Yeah,
I guess I would boo Joe Flacco though. So you know, maybe I'm wrong. You know what?
Jay Cutler's a good one.
Yeah. Okay. Go for it.
Jay Cutler. The real villain in that story, we have later learned, was Josh McDaniels.
I think we knew all along.
Maybe we did, but we were stuck with one of them. So we had to kind of like take the side of like, oh, yeah. Jay won't return calls. This is so immature, you know, whatever.
Right.
In the end,
right.
You had a franchise quarterback and you wanted to trade him for Matt Cassel. Like, that's on you. Boo McDaniels.
Boo McDaniels, of course. I did have Joe Flacco big on time. Here.
I think sounds like a good time. Joe Flacco, that sounds like fun. Why not?
Yep. By the way, Jay Cutler would have been booed for sure.
Oh, of course.
I don't know if that game ever happened.
Jay Cutler is...
It's because the breakup was ugly.
And he's also, he's a villain, man. Like, he just is a villain.
Yes.
He's going
to... Yep. It's true.
He can't do anything about it. Joe Flacco, you say yes, but just for like ironic reasons. You're saying,
I just
why
think
not?
He was like, I don't know. He didn't have a good personality. No one liked him really from game one because they lost game one.
Yeah. Ryan O'Reilly is the last one I have. Ryan O'Reilly. I don't know how much of you guys have like a strong take here.
Rhino.
He took some shots.
With the Blues, which is...
Yeah, I mean, he's won a cup with a division rival, so he's kind of earned it.
Yeah, see, so because of that.
Yeah, he's
I like this idea that all of our... Here's what's funny about this. If you actually go through, we just laid out principles. Never did we say if they're successful with a rival, then it then all bets are off.
Well, if you break up with me and marry my cousin, and then you're posting IG photos of living in a mansion with them, I'm going to be a little...
You also happen to hate your cousin.
Right. I'm going to be a little, you know...
This metaphor is a little off the rails.
I thought that was implied, but...
Here's the last thing I will say. Here's the last thing I will say. You know, I'm coming back from Serbia. We just went on the big Serbia trip with Nuggets. Like, fans there, man, they do a lot more than boo or this or that. And part of me, it's funny because they have these big rivals between some of the big teams or this or that, and they'll throw bottles and stuff. And, you know, talking even to players that played in that environment were so welcoming of it. And there's these real heated things, and I think they can turn ugly in the moment. But best friends can be part of the rivals that are both, they play in the same arena or play right next to each other. And there's this thing of, like, we've heard people say, like, boo, that's so classless. And I think, guys, are we forgetting what sports are about? Nope. Like, this isn't personal, man. Booing Carmelo Anthony is not personal, man. It's like, hey, you left us. That sucks for us. Like, yeah. Come on, we're going to boo you for the rest of the time. It's not personal. It's not like there's no hidden motive to it. This is just sports, and it's fun to be able to boo somebody that you are against on multiple levels. So to me, anyway, I say all that to say some people are so sensitive about it, and I'm like, guys, it's booing. It's so much better than, like, you know, calling names or doing this or that or getting crazy. Just boo them. You tell them, like, hey, we still remember you.
Yep. Yeah. And I think Eric has the best take on all of this stuff, which is, like, sports are an outlet for us to do things you can't really do in everyday life. Yeah. And, like, you couldn't just, like, see your ex-girlfriend walking down the street and just boo her. Well, you can do that.
That would be great if you could just do that. Like, oh, man, you could feel the pain in my heart.
Instead of, like, texting your friends, like, yo, she's here. You just see her. Boo.
Sounds incredible.
You know what? One thing I would also boo is untrimmed man hair. trying to set RK up for perfect ad reads here. Yeah, how was that
that's
one?
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely right. Boo-worthy.
That was Nathaniel Hackett setting it up on the 64-yard line for 64-yarder. Take it away, RK.
Thank you.
Calling a timeout after running 30 seconds there.
Yeah,
would you boo Reggie Bush, you know? Wink, wink, guys.
Damn
yeah.
Damn it.
Maybe they should have used the lawnmower a little bit more on that grass in Seattle, and, you know, he would have had a cleaner release.
This is great. Let's keep going.
So, yeah, Lawnmower 4.0 is just one of the many great products they have over at Manscaped. I actually use the shampoo and conditioner and the body wash, and that's not even where it ends. Like, it's all about the crop preserver, the crop reviver. Manscaped obviously got into this men's grooming world with the lawnmower, and that's going to be, you know, the crown jewel product forever. But it's really the ancillary products that bring home. It's true. You know, they got the crop mop. Boom, you're on the go. You're on the golf course, getting a little swampy around the ninth hole. Pull out a little crop mop out of the golf bag.
I do not like the word swampy.
I mean, I'm just trying to relate to the fellas. You know, they know what I'm talking
fellas
about.
Know what you're saying.
Middle Tennessee, Seattle, swampy places we're talking about.
Exactly. So check out Manscaped. Use the code DNVR for 20% off plus free shipping.
You want me to set you up for another one? I'm not sure I can do it.
What do you got?
I have an evocative. Evocative.
Like behind the back passes from Jokic, right?
Yeah. I mean, amazing. No one's more.
From Plumlee, really.
No one's more well equipped to talk about Ivaka than you.
That's so true, man. Ivaka sent us to Serbia. How dope is that?
That's pretty
dope. And you know why they did it?
That's incredible.
Because they know good content. They're like, you know what would be awesome if DNVR went to Serbia and made a documentary for it and then put it exclusively on Ivaka TV to go along with Nuggets games, Avs games, Rapids games, everything you could possibly want on Ivaka TV. Look, we guys know that. Everybody knows this. The year is 2022, soon to be 2023. Things are changing. These big cable conglomerates, they're trying to squeeze us. What is Ivaka TV doing? They're creating a new paradigm for us to be able to watch the teams that we love. And they're also forward-thinking enough to say, what if we sponsored really cool companies like DNVR so that they could do really cool big projects that take special funding, like going to Serbia, learning about the basketball history, culture, and then making a travel documentary on their experience there and putting it up there. It's an incredible partnership what they have going on with us right now. And right now you can get obviously their incredible deal to be able to get access to the Nugget season. Going to be an absolute banger.
Yep.
Av season. Mm-hmm. Are we trying to defend the cup?
Yeah,
defend absolute the cup, banger. Yeah. You could argue right now that the two best things on television in the Denver area are the Nuggets and Avs. For the foreseeable future.
And they're not
future.
On many Denver televisions unless you get Ivaka TV.
Unless you're on Ivaka TV.
There it is. Boom. Use code DNVR when you sign up for Ivaka. Get $10 off your first 3 months. That makes it $25 a month with your receiver. It's an insane
deal. That's wild.
All right. We got to get out of here quick because Rockies are going to be doing a show here really quickly. But as you guys know, actually, maybe you don't know. You should know this, though. Fall? That's my time, man. That's my time. And I was sitting here thinking, Nuggets training camp begins in like 10 days. Mm-hmm. We got Broncos now in full swing. Avs are back, you know, on the ice here in a week. We are 1 month away from what I think October might be the best month.
Ooh.
I was trying to think of what is the best month in sports. You guys can go through it. Give your take. October, you get Broncos in midseason, Nuggets and Avs, you know, tipping off, dropping the puck. Mm-hmm. You got college football in full swing.
Well,
baseball's in the playoffs.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
It's pretty tough.
It's pretty good.
My only counter would be, like, when's the NBA finals end?
In June.
I think I might pick June because you have NBA and NHL playoffs and the weather. It's golf season.
And is football draft in June, I believe, as well? Is it
That's
June?
In April.
April. All I'm right. a big April guy. Postseasons April. Are starting with hockey and yeah. basketball,
NCAA
NFL draft.
Basketball championship.
That's right. Final Four yeah. is in April. So yeah. it's, March Madness it's a wire, April, wire yeah. month. Yeah.
And yeah, you still have baseball. No football, though. I guess the draft.
Yeah.
April right there.
That's true.
You kind of need football.
You miss football.
When people ask me, when should I come to Colorado? I want to come visit. What's the best time should I come? And I always tell them, it's fall. To me, we are beginning right now. You were talking about those cool temperatures. You go drink your coffee. Put on your hoodie, man. Come on.
I got get, it. Get, tomorrow. Get I just wasn't ready.
I don't want to hear that story again. Okay. Yeah, grab your true. Beanie. Grab your good Uggs. Point. Whatever it is you need Let's to stay cozy out on that porch. Because this is the best time. And it made me think, what are the best things in Colorado in the fall?
I mean, for me, it's going to Folsom Field. And I know we were kind of.
Part of it. This is what I'm saying. Football.
Yeah. And the Buffs are a disappointment and this, that, and the other thing. And it just never matters to me.
Really?
I get up there and like the leaves are changing and there's a little chill in the air. And I'm like eating a hot link while drinking a beer. And I'm like, this is actually my entire life is just a clock to try to get back to this.
This is like Hemingway waxing poetic on Cleveland or something. Like he's like, oh man, I get into Folsom Field. They just know you're in for an 8-touchdown loss.
It doesn't even matter. Like you get up in the stands and you see the Flatirons. And like, there's all these people around and family and friends, and it's just.
I can't tell. Is he being honest right now? No, honest to God,
he's
100% being honest.
I don't know, man.
Folsom's also magical. Like, if you like fall, Folsom is a special place. Ralphie running, you gotta.
Oh yeah,
you gotta. Really
have you been?
I've never been to
exhilarating, Adam.
Can we
gotta get you there.
You can take me. We can go to a football game.
Game time tickets only if acquired on game time.
All right,
tickets
next evening game because the next home game's at noon.
It doesn't hit the same.
All right. Yeah, it's true. At night,
a little too early.
Just too early. Like you can't start tailgating at 7. I mean, you could, but no one wants to.
Dre, what fall activities? We got to beat Folsom. I mean, come on.
Jeez, for me, it's literally watching football.
On your couch?
Anywhere.
So that, come on, you got to give me the fall, though, the fallness of this. Where is the peak football for you?
Yeah, I suppose on my couch.
I wanted to jump in on this because when I saw you put this topic in there, I was like, you're talking to two guys who spend every free moment they have in the fall watching football. Like last year, Spencer and Mitch were telling me like, oh, golf in the fall in Colorado is the best. And I was like,
I believe it.
I don't think I've ever done that. Like,
not even
soon
once.
As week one rolls around, I put my clubs away. And last year I did it and it was actually great.
Yeah, fall is like when I say, okay, honey, see you in winter, you know.
Estes Park in fall is
Rocky Mountain National
amazing.
Park, the top, it's the absolute top. You
going
go down
up
there
to the mountains,
park,
seeing the leaves, it's a good time.
Well, when that's, different. That's different. So I also have on here Kebler Pass. Kebler Pass Drive. You go up there to Crested Butte, like from Paoni. Gorgeous. Most beautiful place in the world during
quite
the fall.
Quite familiar with that. Yeah.
Are you quite familiar?
I went to school in Gunnison.
All right. So
did you really?
I've got Tuesdays and Wednesdays because there's Monday night football, Thursday night football, Friday night football.
Road trip.
So you want to take a Tuesday or Wednesday?
Me and you just to go see the Leafs?
Yeah. Let's
go. Oh, man. Great.
I might be in on this.
Are we in on this?
Let's do it.
Can we go where the like to the part of the national park where the Elks bugle?
Oh, man. You're asking the guy. You're asking the guy that I'm telling you, I'm the guy for that.
Man,
I'm the guy.
Bugling is what he's all about.
I got six different meadows I could tell you about. We'll pick the herd. You just tell me which one you're looking to see.
Can we like be on the Wheel of Destiny? Trip.
What do you know? We're going to Horseshoe.
This is going to be the best Tuesday ever.
I love the fall. It hasn't started. You know, the week of disappointment, that was last week.
Right.
We have a beautiful week ahead of us. 3-0.
Late summer. Yeah.
Should be noted, six planets in retrograde right now. Just things are going to happen.
Oh, boy.
So retrograde, it's because like when you watch them in orbit, like if you were to map their, like the way they look with the rotation of the Earth, every now and then they go like this. And that's the retrograde, do we know? Or do we not know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's okay. Definitely.
Just I'm saying the celestial bodies, if you mapped them, they have a little bit of that thing going to them. It's an illusion, of course. Okay. But all right, I think that's retrograde. We don't know.
That's insights you can't hear anywhere else.
All I know is things start going wrong, and I'm like, I got to Google this. I bet you something's in retrograde. And
something's
it's
in retrograde.
Always, there always is.
That was last week. That's not the week ahead. Broncos bounce. But the Broncos bounce back this week?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely. If they don't, it actually is time to panic.
Yeah,
Buffs bounce back this week?
No, definitely not.
Yeah, no, they won't.
Was bounce back covering the 28-point spread?
Maybe that's what it is. CSU bounce back this week?
No.
No.
All right, we're going to get one bounce back then. We're going to get
one bounce back. Air Force tonight. Let's go. Bounce
on,
forward.
On Falcons.
There we go. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Hit that like button on the way out. Stay tuned. Rocky's coming up next.